In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not long ago, there was a picture in the New York Times from the Hubble telescope. It was a shot of the earliest known galaxies whose light had taken, get this now, 13.2 billion years to get here. 13.2 billion years to reach us. And someday, scientists hope to be able to see light from the very beginning of creation, the Big Bang, if you will. You know, the more we learn about the universe, the more we realize the central role of light in all of life. In fact, light and life are inextricably connected. Too much light or too little light makes all the difference in the world. We human beings have always been fascinated by light and have many metaphors for light and darkness, which is light's absence. For instance, to be enlightened is a good thing. To be in the dark is not. Anyone studying history knows that great civilizations come and they go. The glories of the Roman Empire were followed by the horrors of the Dark Ages. And so we should not be surprised that the Bible makes frequent use of these metaphors, and certainly the Jewish people knew their own times of light and darkness, of glory and despair. The gospel lesson that Timothy just read for us is the one always appointed for Christmas morning. Much beloved, first verses of the Gospel of John. They tell us that in the beginning was not a word, but the Word, and that the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that everything that exists comes into being through that Word, and that whatever has come through that Word is life, and that life is the light of all people. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So far, John is retelling the creation story with kind of some interesting parallels to contemporary theories about the creation of the universe. After all, doesn't Genesis, as well as our science, say that in the beginning there was only a formless void, a darkness, a nothingness? And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, which God then separated from the darkness. And then God goes on to speak all of creation into existence. Our gospel writer has all of this in mind with one major exception. He has personified this speaking of everything into existence. The Word has become a person. John says, and the Word became flesh, a person, and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And in several verses beyond our gospel lesson, our author continues, and from his fullness of being God's Word, we have received grace upon grace. He could have said, love beyond love. Love upon love. Then he goes on to say, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son who is close to the Father's heart, who has made God known. Now we hear these words every Christmas, and they roll off our ears because we've heard them over and over again. But in the first century, they were astounding words. The Word of God, God Himself, has become a human being in order that we might receive grace upon grace, so that God might have a human face for us. That was astounding. Astounding claim. And that, my friends, is the central claim of Christianity, which we call the Incarnation. You might say that this proclamation is the theological meaning of that wonderful Christmas story that we see portrayed here in the creche, of Jesus' birth in a stable in Bethlehem, surrounded by adoring shepherds and angels singing glory to God in the highest, that we hear in Matthew and Luke and all those Christmas carols, some of whom we've already sung. Now, we view all of these stories in this great theological statement, looking back at them over 2,000 years. And alas, there's still a great deal of darkness in our world. Violence, injustice, poverty, just to name a few of the kinds of darkness in our world. Yet that light, our lesson tells us, still shines, and the darkness hasn't extinguished it. It hasn't overcome it. The Word of God is still being proclaimed, and a great many believers still receive grace upon grace, love upon love, forgiveness upon forgiveness. Yet, again, alas, there are a growing number of people, even Christians, who are sliding back into that darkness, because we live in a time when we're bedazzled by a world full of things that parade as light, but are capable of being very dark. Material goods in great quantities can quickly hide the Word of God from our view. Recently, I came across a quotation, a very simple quotation from someone who has become a well-known poet in our times, Mary Oliver. She wrote, "Someone I once loved gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift." I suspect that all of us could think of times when we have received a box full of darkness. The loss of relationships, or a good friend, or a loved one, or jobs, or health, or our ideals. I think Oliver is trying to tell us that these boxes that the world is trying to give us are often full of darkness rather than light. But they can be a gift, because through a lot of hardship and sadness, we can learn which boxes are the false ones. Perhaps she's also telling us that such experiences can turn us in a different direction, even a greater gift, a direction toward the light. That light comes from the Word of God, the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Friends, if we will let it, that light can and will illumine all that we are and all that we do. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, will show us where grace upon grace is to be found. That light will assure us that the child of Bethlehem that we celebrate at this time of the year comes anew this day to lighten our path, to let us know that God does not want us to fail, but rather to have new life and to have it abundantly. So our task, our very simple but profound task, is to turn to the light. Turn to the light, which is Christ, and to begin to walk in it. And God promises to take care of the rest. So, my friends, may the peace of Christ, the only begotten of the Father, be born anew in your and my heart this day, that we might all more and more become children of the light. My friends, the light of Christ can only shine brightly in our world if it burns brightly in us. The world has to see that light in and through us. The world desperately needs that light. You and I need that life, that light. So here's my Christmas wish for us all. May the light of Christ burn ever more brightly in each of us in this coming year. Amen.